Are we gone? Okay. Can you guys hear me? Yeah. Okay. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for coming to my session. I know it's late in the afternoon. Hopefully nobody is falling asleep. We're not partying too late last night. My name is Ben Riga. I am a technical evangelist. I'm in a group at Microsoft called Developer and Platform Evangelism, and I focus exclusively on Windows Phone. My job is to make sure that I help developers to understand how to build applications for our platform, to make sure that they publish to our marketplace. I should say, before I go any further, I have left my contact information up on the screen. You can reach me via email address. I also have a blog or a podcast series that I started recently, specifically for helping developers raise the rank of their applications in the marketplace. So if you're just getting started, or perhaps even if you've built a few applications, you might find some good tips there. And then finally, I know some of you may have seen this before. If you are on Twitter, I encourage you to follow me on Twitter. It's for the puppy. Follow me on Twitter or the puppy gets it. Anyway, today we're going to talk about Windows Phone localization and internationalization and globalization. There's a lot of different topics there, lots of big words. I'm going to try and simplify it, make it easy for you to do. The reality is that it's really easy to localize an application, but there are some tricks and there are some things that you need to understand. And so we'll go through all of the various things. We'll start with the basics of what is localization and internationalization and globalization. What do all those words mean? And then we'll get into how do you actually localize Windows Phone apps? How do you take advantage of some of the globalization features that are included with .NET and, of course, Windows Phone? We'll talk about also what happens once you've localized. What do you need to do to publish an application that's been localized? And then finally, there's a few third-party tools that I think most people should know about if they're doing any sort of localization. It saves you a lot of time, and so we'll go through some of those. First thing, let's start with some very basic terms. The first thing is there are differences between localizing a Silverlight application on Windows Phone versus localizing an XNA application. XNA tends to have lots of graphics, and the fonts are different, and the way that they manage resources is very different. And so for the purposes of this presentation, I'm focusing exclusively on Silverlight. I do have some links later in the session to where you can go for more information on XNA. And in particular for XNA, especially with Windows Phone 7.5, you can actually combine Silverlight and XNA. So you can use Silverlight for things like leaderboards and menus and achievements, all of that stuff. And then you would use XNA for your gameplay. So all of the stuff that's related to Silverlight, even in an XNA game, we'll be talking about, but not the XNA-specific stuff. So there are three different terms that we hear pretty often. There's internationalization. That's often shortened or abbreviated as I18N, which really means the letter I, followed by a random set of 18 letters, and then the letter N. And basically what that means is making a product multi-region capable. That means abstracting anything that's country-specific, things like language, culture, date format, currency format, all of the things related to a thing that's specific to a culture. Then there's the concept of localization. That's a pretty simple one. That's translating an application or making an application that is available to a very specific locale, whether that's a language or a language and a culture locale. And then finally, the topic of globalization, that's essentially combining both localization and internationalization. That's essentially what we're going to talk about today. So Windows Phone does include both culture and language formats, support for language, various language and culture formats, and we're adding more all the time. Every release, we've added more. There is a region plus language page, and we'll see it later on today when we look at an example of how to localize. And that's the region format is where you would look at things like numbers and currencies, time formats, number formats, where to put the comma and the period and all that good stuff. And there is actually a class in .NET called Culture Info that exposes all of that for you, makes it very easy for you to get access to what the current culture is and actually even to change the culture, the current culture of the application, if that's something you need to do within your application. So I encourage you to take advantage of this. Don't try and build your own multicultural applications. .NET does it all for you. You really should just allow it to do all the work for you. It's just really easy to do. Take advantage of that. Just for completeness, I included some of the languages and some of the languages we've added recently. So you'll see in the center, that was Windows Phone 7.0. And when we released 7.0, we really only supported 5 languages, what we commonly refer to as eFigs: English, French, Italian, German, and Spanish. And as you can see with Windows OS 7.1, the SDK 7.1, or what we all know as Windows Phone 7.5 or Mango, we added a lot of different languages to support launching of the device to many different languages. And related to each one of those is a culture code. And you can see the culture code combines both the language as well as the country in many cases. And so, for instance, in English, you'll see there's an English US and an English GB or Great Britain. And so if your application needs to to differentiate your application between the English for the US and English for Great Britain, you would use the culture code. If you have one English version that's available to all of your English countries, then you would just use the language code. And I'll show you how that works later on. Is there a question? Yeah. So Windows 8, how many people have heard that there's this other thing coming that's called Windows Phone 8? Yeah. Okay. So we haven't announced that. We have announced that we will be going to many new countries. But we haven't announced how many or which ones. So later on, sorry, did you?
Will you add more functions like Finnish?
Yeah, exactly. So as we add new cultures, we will add a new culture code. And if you look at Windows, for instance, these culture codes are standard across the industry, actually, not even just Windows. Every application uses the same culture code. And so for Windows 8, for instance, I think we're going to be in 190 different countries. Not Windows Phone 8, but Windows 8. And so you can imagine, I think there's 50 or 60 different languages and who knows how many combinations of culture codes that are out there. So, but we haven't announced on Windows Phone 8, so I can't really answer that. Later this summer is what we've said, so stay tuned. Same bat channel. Don't go away. We're coming back with more info. We also mentioned, I also wanted to show you that there's a lot of different international features. Not every feature is available in every culture. For the most part, all of the major cultures, you shouldn't have to worry about this. But if you are working with other cultures that maybe don't have all of the features, you may have to worry about that. So, for instance, at the top there, you can see Indonesia, for instance, has an IME, but doesn't do context sorting or dictionary and so on. So these are things that, for the most part, you probably will not have to worry about it. But I wanted you to at least be aware that there are some differences between different languages and the support for those languages. So Windows Phone actually includes two different types of fonts. There's a reading font, and those are available on all devices, and then there's a UI font. The UI font are not available on all devices. In fact, many devices you will find don't include the UI fonts that you may be looking for. It varies from device to device. Windows Phone will render in the reading font if it doesn't have the UI font. Then you may start getting into issues with layout because you'll see different layout. So one of the things you'll have to keep in mind is which UI font you're using. And there are different UI fonts. You can see them along the right-hand side. In general, for all the eFigs, for instance, that's all typically Latin fonts. But then you also have Cyrillic and Greek-based fonts. There's Chinese has its own different font, or two different fonts, and so on. So you have to keep this in mind. The reading fonts are the fonts that you would use in IE, for instance. So if you're in IE, even if you're in an English or, let's say, a Dutch device, and you go to a Japanese website, you will see the rendering in Japanese. And there you're actually using a reading font, as opposed to actually having an application that's built for Japanese that would then use the UI font. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's talk about actually localizing an application. So when you localize an application, essentially what you do is you pull out all of the hard-coded strings that you have in your application, and you bundle them up into what are called resource files. And then you localize those resource files. And what you would have is a different resource file for each culture or each language that you are localizing. And then you would perhaps give that resource file to a translator or perhaps to a friend who speaks that language. They would translate it for you. Then you would include the resource file. When you build your application, the compiler takes care of compiling all of that together and then showing the right set of resources based on what you're doing. The default culture, you have to choose one, and I'll show you where you do that. Typically, you would probably choose English. You don't have to. Most people do because it's probably the default language that most people will be able to read if they can't read your native language. So, for instance, for me, it's English because I come from an English language. But if I was building an application in Dutch and I was shipping that to the U.S., if I didn't have an English file, a default culture of English, then the application would then default to Dutch. And so that would make it difficult. Probably wouldn't get a lot of five-star ratings on your application. So you can also have a region-neutral culture. And I mentioned this earlier, where you would just specify the language. So for Dutch, for instance, it would be NL. French, it would be FR. And then if you have a specific culture, as I mentioned earlier, you might have a culture for Dutch, for instance, NL-NL is Dutch for Netherlands. NL-BE is Dutch, or I guess that's Flemish for Belgium, and so on. French for France, French for Canada, and so on. So as I mentioned earlier, most applications, you don't really need the culture-specific or the language-specific resource strings. You would probably just do one French that would include both France and Canada. But if there's something in your application that requires that, you have the capability to do that. So just keep that in mind. There is the possibility of, when we're talking about localizing, what I was talking about here previously is localizing of strings within the application. So things in your XAML, things in your code, and so on. Those are things that you would put in resource files. Because of some legacy history in Visual Studio, it's a little bit difficult to change or localize the application title. And this would be the title that the end user would see in the list of applications, the app list, as well as the title they would see in the live tile. And so there is a way to do that. It actually requires that you use the C++ compiler, and so it requires that you have Visual Studio Professional, and there's this crazy path that you have to go through. It's actually a little convoluted. I apologize for that. It's as a result of some legacy that comes from Visual Studio. The good news is that there's actually a developer in the community who's built a tool that allows you to just specify the strings that you need, and then he will actually compile those DLLs for you. I'll actually show you that today. That's the way I localize my title and tiles. It's just so much easier than trying to do it with Visual Studio. We'll see that in a few minutes. And then finally, there is also some interesting stuff that happens with the app bar. The app bar within applications requires that you do a little bit of special things. The app bar XAML cannot actually be localized, so you would have to actually create the app bar at runtime. And I'll show you what that means in a few minutes. Any questions so far? How am I doing? Is this interesting? Okay. Let's actually have a look at this. It's actually easier to explain than to describe in many cases. Let's make sure you can see what I can see. Okay. All right. So here I have an application. And let me just run the application. And it's running in my... And this is it. This is my very exciting, essentially, Hello World application where I have a couple of strings that say hello, goodbye. And you can also see I have an app bar that has one button and one menu item. And so this is the application that we're going to localize just to keep it really simple so everyone understands. Right? So let's have a look at what's going on behind the covers there. So the first thing we look at, here's my application XAML. And so you can see here, the only thing we're going to translate here is the hello, goodbye, and then the app bar. You'll notice that there is no app bar in the XAML here. And the reason for that is because I actually pulled out the XAML for the app bar, and I didn't put it in the XAML. So I build my app bar at runtime. And I'll show you how I did that in a couple minutes. So the first thing you'll see here is the two strings that I'm going to localize, that hello and goodbye. They're both text blocks, just standard text blocks. But rather than having hard-coded text, they're actually binding to something called a localized resource. with an ID of greeting. So the hello has an ID of greeting, and farewell is the one for goodbye. And then the source for that is a static resource called localized strings. And so where does all that come from? So you'll see here in my application, I have something called appresources.resx. And I'll show you, we're going to actually create one in Dutch in a few minutes just to show you how it all comes together. But here's my strings that I have here. So you'll see that greeting, right? There's the name greeting equates to a value. It's just a name value pair, right? Greeting is hello and farewell is goodbye, right? And so the question then is, how do we make that connection between that string that we're binding to that app resources.resx? And there's a little bit of trickery going on here. You'll see here that it's binding to localized resources. The way it does that is I've actually created a, where is it? Here it is, localized strings.cs. It's just a very simple helper class called localized strings. And that localized strings there uses app resources. So you can see app resources, it's going to pull that in. And anytime I feed it my name, it's going to pull in the right resource. And the way that I get to that from my XAML is in my app XAML. You can see I have application resources, and here's my localized resources with the key localized strings, right? So that's how all of that connection happens. And that works the same way in code. So if I go to, well, we'll look at that in a second. No, let's look at it now, actually, because it's actually easier to understand doing this. So this is how, so here's my application bar. So this is my main page, XAML.cs. So when my application launches, I call this helper function that builds my localized application bar. And so rather than have the application bar in XAML, I'm building it at runtime. As soon as my application starts, it builds, and it automatically does that. So it's actually pretty easy to do. I don't know if you can see this. Let me give myself some more room. So you can see here where I'm creating an application bar. I'm just newing it up very easily. And then I'm also newing up an application bar icon button. That's, as the name implies, is an icon button. And then I'm passing it a few things, the application icon.png. And then here's the text. I'm setting my text. And now rather than just setting the text that says button, I think is what the text was, I'm feeding it, again, app resources. This time it's not actually going to localize strings. It's just going directly to app resources and pulling in something called button text. And I close my app resources. But here you can see button text has the word button, right? And similarly, when I look at my app bar menu item, here you'll see that when I new up my app bar menu item, and menu item really only has one parameter, so we just pass it app resources.menu item text, and that's it. An app bar menu item text, as you would expect, just has one word called menu. Is everyone getting how that works? All right, so to make this a little bit more interesting, let's actually localize this application. As you can see, I have a bunch of app resource files. The app resources.resx is my default culture. And the way I set my default culture in my properties, I went a little fast there. Let me do that again. So I just right-clicked on my localization features, and I went to properties. And in there, you'll see there's a button called assembly information. And in there, you'll see something called neutral language. And I've set neutral language to be English. Does that make sense? So when an end user starts my application on an English device, it will go and get the English, obviously, because it knows that's default. If an end user starts my application in a language that is not English, but is also not one that I've localized, let's say I haven't done Russian yet. If they started in Russian, my application will come up in the neutral language, which is English. Does that make sense? Everyone with me? Okay. So that's my neutral language. So that's app resources. And then you can see that I also have a couple of others that I've created. Here's one for French, for France. Here's one for Spain, for Spain. And then here's one that's German, any German. Right? So let's create one for Dutch. So I'm going to right-click here, and I'm going to say Add New Item. And I'm adding a resource file, and I'm going to call it. There's this special naming convention that I'm using here. It's appresources.nl-nl. Right? And so I'm going to add that. And now I have this resource file that's blank, and so now I have to have, so I had greeting, and then I had, what is it, farewell. I had button text, and menu item text. Did I get it wrong? Did I spell it wrong? It's a good question. So the question was, wouldn't it be easier if we had one file that just had many columns, one column for each language? And unfortunately, no, not in Visual Studio. I have seen third-party tools that allow you to do something like that, and we'll talk about that at the end. I have some third-party some suggestions for tools you may want to look at to help you manage that, but not in Visual Studio. Another good question, and I'll show you how to do that in a few minutes too. Also, another third-party tool that you can use. So yes, stay tuned. The one thing I would say, though, that, sorry, let me repeat the question for those of you who didn't hear it and also for the recording. Is there some way that I could actually take that ResX file and give it to Bing Translator to translate it for me? And there are third-party tools to do that. I was actually going to show one later, and I'll show it to you later. I would suggest that you be very careful with that because translation from any automated translation is going to be suspect at best. It's a good way to get to a first draft, and then maybe you gave it to a translator to refine it. But I wouldn't suggest that you deploy to production direct from Bing. You're going to get a lot of laughs from people that know the language. Okay, so let me just double check that I got the right. So greeting, farewell, button text, menu item text. And so now I have to translate. So you guys are going to help me here. Greeting in Dutch, I think, is hallo, right? Farewell is anyone? How do you say goodbye in Dutch? Auf Wiedersehen? Okay, come on now. Help me out here. Someone shout it out. Top ziens, like that? T-O-T. Like that. Okay, good. And then button, is that knop? Is that close? Okay. And then menu, I'll just say menu, Dutch menu, just to, whoops. Menu is, I think menu is menu, right? So I'll just say, I'll just add the word Dutch so that we can tell the difference. And so that's kind of all that's required, except for one little thing that you have to do. You have to actually tell the project file that you've added a new resource. And the way you do that is, again, these are one of these little tricks that you have to know. So I'm going to right-click on my project. I'm going to say unload the project. And now I'm going to edit my project. And in the project, you'll see a section called supported cultures. And so here's where you would add NL-NL. And save that, close that, and then reload the project. And now we're actually good to go. So let's actually run this, and then we're going to test it. Yes? What if your culture code is not in there? What does that mean? Right. So Swiss German would then default to German. So you would just use the German. Or if it didn't exist, so like I said earlier, if I am in Russia and I don't have Russian in the application, it will go and use your neutral culture. In my case, it's English.
Yeah, but if you want to use Swiss German localization.
So if you want to do Swiss German, you would have to add a resource file for Swiss German. Maybe I didn't list it, but I'm sure there's a code for Swiss German. If it's available in Windows Phone, then the code is available. There's a culture code. And maybe I missed it in my list. You can double check. You didn't see it?
Indeed, one, this French, Italian, and German,
So in my application, you mean, or in the list?
The list.
Okay. Email me, and I'll double-check what that is for you. It's easy enough to find. Yep, question here, and then, yep. So you can create your own language. The problem then becomes how does the application load it? And the application will load the language based on the... Well, so the way you would have to... the way it works is that the application, when it starts, is going to check the culture of the device, and then it's going to load the right language. So if you create your own language, that device won't have that language, and so it won't know to load that language. Does that make sense? And so what you would have to do... You would do that, you'd have to do that in code. You would have to do that in code. You can. You can. You would put it maybe in the settings. You would say switch language. And some people do that, right? Because some people, even though they're in Dutch, they may want to actually look at use an application in English. And so they would allow people to switch languages. Most applications don't do that. They just use the standard culture codes that Windows Phone ships with. Yes? Yeah. You need to localize it, of course. So if you have a button that's in English, then you have to localize it to Dutch. I mean, you can't hard code the text. You have to localize it, put it in a resource file. Yes. There are some tricks that you would have to do. So the question then is, what if I want to load a different resource file based on some special code that I am doing? You would have to write the code for that, right? It's not standard. It's not. Most people don't do that. So it's not a standard part of the operating, you know, there's no standard way to do that. I think there's another question over here. Yes? Good question. So someone asked, well, what happens if I do have, what's the case here? I do have French and I have English, but for whatever reason, maybe I forgot to add one of the items in French, but I have it in English. Then it will fall back to English. So you will have this application that will launch. Most of your strings will be in French. That one string will be in English. Okay? That's a good question. We're getting into the details now. How are we doing here? Do we actually want to see this running? You're going to test me, see if it works. Let's run this. And so here's my application. Again, it's in English only, as you would expect, because the device is in English, right? And so if I exit the application and go into my emulator settings, you'll see there's an option called Region Plus Language. Right now it's set to English, United States. I'm going to change this to Netherlands or Nederlands. Select that. Now, this is kind of tricky. If you do this, the thing I always do is I set the thing and then I exit. And if you do that, it actually throws away your change. You actually, for this one thing, because it has to actually reset the device to reload the languages, you have to actually tap here to accept changes. And what's going to happen here is it's going to actually restart the emulator with the Netherlands settings and languages and strings and all of that good stuff. So that's going to take a few seconds, so let's take some questions. Ah. So the question was, is it possible for my application to set its own language apart from whatever the device is doing? And that's actually a very similar question to what the gentleman was asking. It is possible to do it, but you would have to do a lot of the work on your own. So you would still have your resources. Hopefully you would still use resources. And then you would load those resources manually. You would just set them or just go and load the right ones. It is possible to do. Yes? You do, but you have to do it in code. It's not going to happen automatically, which is what's happening here, right? It's not a lot of work. It's not a lot of work. Okay. All right, so, wrong screen. So here is my application. You'll see that, we're going to fix that later. Here we have now my application, and then if I look at the menu item, it says Knop and menu Dutch. So pretty straightforward. So pretty easy to do. It's all in the resource files or in my application, right? So there's two things that we've translated here. The XAML, any code. So if I have messages in code, I would use app resources. And then the app bar, right? So those are three things you have to worry about. The fourth thing we have to worry about is the app title and the tile. And as you noticed, I actually had done it already. It's actually done already because I did this demo and I forgot to remove it. So that was not very smart on my part. But let me show you how you would do this. There is a, I think I showed this earlier. Here, title localizer. And if I do this, here is an application. It's written by, it's actually a Windows Phone MVP, a Microsoft Windows Phone MVP. He's written this application where we give it the title, the tile and the title name. So the tile will be Ben's application. And the tile string will be tile string. I'm not being very creative here. And then I could also do the string on the back of the tile and also any back content, right? And so here, let me just do watch my back. Okay? And so one of the things he's included, which is really handy, is I can actually translate. So if I click translate, it's now actually taking four strings. I only entered three, but it's taking each one of those four strings and iterating through and going to Bing Translate for each one of those strings and translating them. And in a few minutes, it will come back with all of the various languages. Hopefully not too long. There they are. And so you can see, and this is where, here's Dutch. I don't know if Ben van Toepassing. I don't know if that makes any sense at all. Am I even close? No, right? Yeah, I didn't think so. In Danish also? Yeah, I apologize. Hopefully I don't offend too many of you today. So, again, this is kind of handy in that it does some of the translating for you. It's a good first pass, but normally you would actually want to refine that yourself. The best part, though, here is that I can actually take this and now save the DLLs. And let me see where I'm going to put those. Whoops, I went to the wrong folder, sorry. Here, localization, and I'll go to, here, title localizer, DLLs, save those. DLLs are saved, they're updated. And then if we go there, here's the new DLL. So here's all the MUI files, and these are actually just standard DLLs. But all they have in them are those four strings. Each one of them has four strings. And each one of these DLLs refers to a different country. And so one of these, I can't remember which one, is Dutch. Another one is Danish, and so on. And so what I need to do now is go into Visual Studio and then right-click and add existing item. And then I would go and find those DLLs and just add them in. Title localizer, new DLL, and I could actually just take all of them if I wanted to, and then it would just add them in, and you see them here, right? And so now I have those DLLs in my project. Now the question is how, if I have the DLLs, how do I now put them into, how big are they? They're tiny. I think they're a few, 2K. Yeah. I think that's a minimum size. I think they're even smaller than that if you look at them. There's nothing in there. It's tiny. Where was I going? Oh, right. So then the question becomes, where do I put them? And so what I did is I went into my project, into my WM app manifest, and then in there, there's two places where I would tell it. And so you'll see there's app-res-lib.dll -100, and the 100 means a specific thing. That's the tile, right? And so the app product ID, the title of the app, will come from this app-res-lib. And you can see I have multiple app-res-lib-dlls for each one of my languages. And then the same thing, if I come down to, here it is, the title that I put on my tile, right? The title that I have on my tile comes from that DLL as well, and that's code -200, and so it just pulls the code -200. And then there's a 300 for the back, whatever it was, the back title, and then the back content. Make sense? It's a little tricky, but once you know the steps, and really in this case, you probably only need to do it once, or once for every language, as you add languages. But it's pretty straightforward. Yes? So, I'm sorry, say that again. On the tile? Okay, so now you're talking about actually customizing the tile of the application to show, so you would have a different background tile for each language. You would have to do that in code. It's not that hard, but you have to do it in code. And you would have to have each flag be in your resource, right? Either a embedded or just a file in your Zap, and then you would do it. And as the application would load, you would change that. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. How am I doing on time? Pretty good, I think. I think we're gonna. Okay. So this is one of the things you have to be careful of. There is no image resources, and so customizing image resources becomes a bit of a pain. There's a lot of manual work that you have to do there. Yeah. And so my suggestion would be try to have image resources that are language neutral or culture neutral, not even language neutral, but culture neutral. You certainly don't want to have images that have text in them. That's really hard to, that's actually, not only is it hard, not hard, I mean, it can be done, but it's also expensive because you actually have to go and hire a translator to localize it, and then you probably have to go and hire a designer to redo each one of your images. And then every time something changes, you got to go back. So suggestion, in fact, it is something I was going to talk about. It's something you want to stay away from, if at all possible. We haven't talked about Windows Phone 8, so and I you know, I'm going to have to defer on Windows Phone 8 at this point. I'm sorry. We've said a few things about Windows Phone 8, nothing around the localization part. Right. So now we're talking about, so we talked about how you would localize the application. Now we can talk about how you would set your culture or your locale. Localized cultures are all the resources included in one Zap file. You can have separate Zap files if you want to do that. You could, in theory, have a different Zap file and different application for each one of your resources, but that would make a lot of work, especially when you're publishing to multiple languages and so on. It is possible to do. I don't recommend it. My recommendation, you have all your resources in one file and you just switch dynamically. Again, by default, the applications use the regional settings that are set by the user. Applications can select their own culture and locale, which is something that you were asking about. It is not that hard to do, but you would have to then set up a settings page somewhere that allowed the end user, and you would have to enumerate the values that are right. And there's a little bit of work to it. It's not hard work, but it's not the default experience. Right. Okay. So when you talk about globalizing your app, so there we talk about localizing the app where the strings in the application are different for whatever language the end user may have chosen. Now we're talking about actually globalizing it so that you can actually change the display, change the date and time display, or change the currency display, change the number format, all of those things. It even can get as complicated, especially if you have strings that you're sorting. You have to be careful about sorting strings because there's different sorting ways of sorting depending on languages and so on. And so .NET actually does all of that for you. There is this thing called Culture Info. It's a class in .NET, and as a result, you get it for free in Windows Phone that does all of that for you. So changing, you can use the array sort, for instance, to sort a list of strings, or if you can't use array sort, there is the compare info, for instance, that would compare two strings, and based on the culture info, tell you which one is higher and which one is lower, and so that would save you a lot of the work of having to do that all custom. So again, try not to do any of that work custom. This work has been done many, many times, so let's do that. There is actually a really good example of this. It's actually in the SDK. Oh, I guess you can't see what I'm showing you here. So I've actually loaded it here, and let me just run it. Sorry, not this one. Here it is. Let me just run it, show you what it does, and then we'll have a look at how you would change your culture and the results of that. So here is my application, and as you can see, it actually is in Dutch because my application, because we switched the device to be Dutch, and I never reset it, which is fine. And so now I can do, I can choose. So for instance, if I choose Netherlands, you can see that it's showing me the region names and so on. It's actually showing me what the date format looks like for today in Netherlands, and then long format, short format, time format, and then currency format, which is all pretty handy. And then if I change that to, how do they say English in Dutch? Is it not English? Engels? No, yeah, there it is. Right, so here's the English version, right? So now, even though my display is in Netherlands, my regional format, my region culture is in English, and so I'm looking now at date formats in the various different ways. And really, I don't really have to do a lot to actually make that happen. Let me show you how that works. And so here is my application. There's really only one page in this application. Again, this is right out of the SDK. You can download it. It's up on MSDN right now. And I'm just using it completely unchanged. And so when I choose that string, there, I have that string, and whenever I change the one that's selected, it does a switch, and then it would choose the right culture, right? So number 6, for instance, it sets this string CUL, which would be culture, to whatever that right culture is. So it's making that connection. And then we use that CUL string to set the culture. And so here we say culture info, new culture, setting the culture info to that culture. And then I'm also doing it the current culture, and then setting the thread current culture to whatever I want that culture to be. And then once I've done that, I can then use that to do all sorts of things. So for instance, regional format.txt, that was the string at display string at the top. It's actually pulling that native name. Same thing for the UI display. And then here is the date format. It's pulling the current date and then doing long text and not doing anything except using the standard date formats, right? Just by using the capital D. That's a standard thing in .NET. Capital D means long format, and because it knows the culture, it does all of the calculation and reformats it and gives you the right weekday names and right formatting and all that. And same thing with time, and same thing with currency. It really is as simple as that. If you use your .NET string formatting, you'll save yourself a lot of problems. In fact, I remember when we first launched Windows Phone, we had done some work with some large showcase applications, and they had done their date string formatting. They had made some assumptions around what the dates look like, and it worked great in the US, and then they started publishing in other countries, and apps started crashing all over the place because they made these crazy assumptions because they hadn't taken advantage of .NET. If you take advantage of .NET, it just does all the work for you. Okay. Any questions on that? It's really straightforward. No? Yes? Kind of thinking? Is this hard? Okay. How am I doing? Still got a lot of time. This is good. So testing. Keep in mind when you're oh, yes. I'm sorry? What about it? Yeah. Yeah. What about it? Well, I don't understand the question. You don't have to. Oh, so the question was, well, in numbers, when I'm using numbers, in German you're using the comma and the period in different places versus US or Canada or other countries. .NET does that for you. You don't have to worry about that. The formatting is done. Sorry? You can. Why would you do that? Well, that would be what the end user did. If the end user decides to change it, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Are we okay? Okay. Let's keep going. So testing, as you've seen how to test, right, you do region plus language in the settings, change the display language. It does require that you reset your device. I've done it a few times where I forget and I always hit the back key and then I have to go back and do it again. Not all of the locales are available on all of the actual physical devices. So be careful about that. It might make it difficult for you to test all of the different languages. The emulator does include all of the locales. All of the ones that we support would be included. And so you should be good for testing in the emulator. Make sure that you test all your localized strings. And also be sure that you test your app title both on the start screen, your tile title, as well as your app list title. So make sure you do that, you know, pin to start and so on. And then because it's not always easy to test that sort of thing because there's many different devices with many different things, make sure you have a lot of friends in a lot of different countries and take advantage of the marketplace beta testing service where you can upload an app and then a day later it's available for your end users to download and test out without you having to actually publish and certify and all that stuff. So it makes it much easier to make sure that you're actually catching all of the strings. When you deploy the app, you have to make sure that you also localize all of the various metadata related to that application. So if you've gone to all the trouble of localizing your app from English to Dutch to German, you want to make sure that the end user that sees it in the marketplace when you're trying to sell it to them on the marketplace or try to convince them to download it, you want to make sure that the text that they see in the marketplace is also in their native tongue. And so definitely you want to do that. And the way that works is, as you can see here, when you upload the ZAP file, the marketplace will actually detect all of the resource strings that are available, and it will actually allow you, it will turn on a few things. And so here, for instance, I have an app that has three different languages in it, English International, which is English neutral, then French and Spanish, and so then I would go through and for each one of those languages, I would have to put in descriptions and keywords, your legal address, your email address. These can all be different for each one of the different languages. And then you also want to give different tiles, the tiles that you give so that it shows up in the marketplace if they have different tiles. You can have different background art, different screenshots so that the screenshots are in the native languages. All of that stuff has to be updated, and so you publish all of that stuff in the native language. So this is your selling. This is your point that you're doing all this. You want to make sure that your end users know that you've gone to the trouble of localizing for them. Did you have a question? I believe it comes. So the question was, does it come from the resource files or does it come from the project? I believe it comes from the project. So if you have, I do this all the time where I'm in the middle of localizing. So I have maybe two or three languages that are already localized, but maybe I'm only 50% done on another language. It might still be in my project because I'm testing, but I won't put it in the project file. But I've never tested that on Marketplace. I believe it does check the project file, though. That's the right way to do it. If we don't, then it's a bug. There's a question in the front. So the question was, can we change the application name for different languages? Yes, it comes from the ZAP file, right? So we change the application list name. That's where you set your application name. And so you localize it using that tool that I showed you earlier. Yes, yes, it comes from the ZAP file. Yes, I think you were first, and then we'll come back to you. I'm not sure I understand the question. What do you mean it's legal?
We don't know the law of all the countries.
Yes.
So if it's legal on the country that we were working to get the application,
okay.
Probably we do something that we don't know, but it's not legal.
Sure. Okay, so the question was, and this is not really a localization question, it's just general legal question, and I should start by saying I'm not a lawyer. So take my, you should speak to a legal counsel about this. The question is, if an application is legal for whatever reason in one country but not in another, how do you know that? And we don't. Microsoft doesn't. There's no possible way that we could look at every application and know whether it was legal or not. We do know some things that are legal or inappropriate for certain cultures, and we do verify that in certification. So for instance, some cultures, they're much more strict around things like nudity or words or certain things where it's inappropriate, and so we'll test for that. Or certain cultures have political issues that we have to abide by if we want to be in that country. China, for instance, has a lot of different rules around what is possible and what is not possible. And so we will check for the ones that we know. And if you don't do the right things, then you will fail certification, and you'll have to go back and make the changes and then go back again. The other thing is, it is possible for an application to make it into the marketplace and then for us to get notified. Let's say you're using someone else's brand. Let's say you decide to do an application and you call it Google. And Google sees that, and they come to us and say, that's not Google. Please take that down. You will get a notice saying, do you have the reason to believe that you own the Google name? And if you don't come back with a legitimate response, your application will get taken down and revoked. Again, this is not really related to localization, or we can talk about that more later. Was there a question in the back? Yeah. That's a good point. It's not a typical scenario. So I should repeat the question. So the gentleman is saying that in some cases, in his case, he is going to the Dutch marketplace, but he has his phone set to be English. And so he is looking at applications in the marketplace that have Dutch names and Dutch descriptions. And then when you install them and then you go and look for them, the actual name is in English. And so you got to search and figure out what did he call it in English. And yes, that's not a common scenario, but it is something you have to keep in mind, that if the marketplace doesn't check what your language is and translate for you, right? So the Dutch marketplace would be in Dutch. Yep. Right, so we're talking about publishing. So just some general tips when you're doing localization. Leave enough room in your strings for localization. No matter what language you're going to, what other language you're going, you will always find that localization or translation of those strings will need more space. And so make sure. The general rule of thumb is that you leave at least 40% extra room for your strings. So no matter what you're putting on the screen, leave lots of room. In some cases, you may find that you'll have to go multiple lines and do line wrapping. Keep that in mind. Test for that when you're checking your strings. And I'll show you, there is a third-party tool that can help with that. And I'll show you what that is in a few minutes. Try and localize sentences, not words, because sentences add context. And if you're trying to localize your application using words, it will be very difficult for whoever is doing the translating to understand the context. Some words have many different meanings depending on, or many different translations depending on the context. And it's different for every language. Every language has its own set of rules, as you can imagine. And try not to use composite strings where possible, because it makes it much harder for the translator to localize. Keep that in mind. Don't try and reuse strings. So if you have strings that may work but have different contexts, for instance, if you have in English, for instance, some words are the same for a verb and a noun, but they're different contexts, right? So you would have to make sure that those are two different things, because you may find when you go to another language that those are two different words, and now you're stuck with code that only has one possibility. And so that makes your localization feel a little bit hard to use. And then the last one is try to avoid graphics with text. This comes back to one of the questions that was asked earlier. Graphics with text makes your application much harder and probably more expensive to localize, because it means you have to, not only do you have to localize the text and make sure the layout works, but then you have to go and hire a designer or someone that is going to redo those graphics for you. My suggestion would be that if you need text on the graphics, that you layer the text programmatically over the graphics, the background graphics, instead of trying to do that all in one. Web designers love to do that, right, where they have text and graphics, and it makes it look really cool, but super hard to localize. Yes? That's a good point. So the question then is, what about alignment, going right to left versus left to right? It's just something you have to keep in mind when you test. You'll just have to do that, right? You'll have to make sure that all of that stuff works. Correct. Yeah, yeah. Whoever is testing will have to switch to Arabic, for instance, where it's right to left, and then they'll have to know that that works. I don't think we support Arabic yet, but I think it's coming. Or actually, I think it's available this week. Actually, I think we just launched Arabic this week. Yes? I'm sorry, I didn't catch. Yes, 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 that's correct. It's not always possible. So you have to, sometimes you will have to do that in code. You'll have to relay out things to make more room and so on. Yes. Yes, you can, right? You can change your layout in code, obviously. It becomes more difficult, right? And it just makes for a lot more work. Not a lot, but it makes for more work. Just some general tips. This is just sort of generalizations around just translation tips. Try and use short sentences when you write your applications, and try and keep your sentences down to one idea per sentence. Don't try and have sentences that say and, because it makes it much more difficult to translate. Don't use slang or idioms. I know Americans are famous for that, using baseball metaphors or sometimes war metaphors. That may work well in your current language. It won't translate. It's just very difficult for someone to translate a baseball metaphor from U.S. English into German, where maybe baseball is not that popular, or people don't know the rules and they don't know the words and so on, and your translator won't know what to do with it. Avoid abbreviations. Again, abbreviations can often be very different from language to language, not always, but very often, and use words consistently. If you're going to use one word to mean one thing, then use that same word all the time. Graphics, when you're building graphics in your applications, this one's a little bit harder, because different cultures have different rules or different things that they worry about, or that through their culture and through their history and through the legacy mean different things. Things like colors may mean different things in different cultures. Issues around sex or religion, body parts, animals may have different significance. And so you have to be careful about that. It's really tough to do. And so this is where I would say use your community, right? Have a lot of friends in a lot of different countries that will tell you, hey, you know, you probably shouldn't use the color red because red means a bad thing or in my culture. And they will tell you that. You will ask for that. And then also use the internet. You know, people have been translating applications for a long time. There's lots of resources all over the place that can help you with this sort of thing. I mentioned earlier that the stuff we've been talking about is mainly related to Silverlight. And of course, if you're building games, I strongly suggest that you use Silverlight for your games or for your XNA applications, because things like menus and leaderboards and achievement lists and all of that stuff can still use Silverlight. You can still use ResX if you're doing that. But then if you're using XNA for your gameplay, things like your graphics and different things in your application, there are specific rules around localization of XNA games or XNA apps. I have an URL there that gives some pretty good tips on how to get started with that. Okay, so I have three different sets of tools that I wanted to go through that are kind of useful. I think we have just enough time to go through them. The first one is related to testing and the concept of what's called localizability. And essentially what that means is that when you start building your application, you know that you're going to localize, but you haven't got the strings back from your translators. And so if you want your testers and your coders to know that they're laying out properly and there's enough room on the screen and that they're not cutting strings off that maybe are too long and so on, you can use a tool that I've... There's a concept called pseudo-localization, which does a number of things. The first thing is it adds a square bracket on either side of the string. And by doing that, you know that if you can't see both sides of the square bracket, you know your string has been cut. And so you need to go and fix that. It also internationalizes the text by just putting the same letter but with accents or with different things. And then it increases the length by 40%, so that gives you the ability to see if you have enough room as you add different languages. And so here's an example here where the string hello, the same one we used earlier, instead of being hello, now becomes open square bracket, hello with these crazy accents, and then a bunch of exclamation marks and spaces and so on, and then a closed square bracket. And then when I look at that in my application, I'll see that application actually can be localized. And it becomes very obvious when you do this where your hard-coded strings are, because you can see that they don't have the crazy accents, and you can also see where strings are not long enough and so on. There is a tool, it's actually been available for years. It's a free tool that's freely downloadable from MSDN. It's called Pseudoizer, and it actually takes a ResX file and pseudoizes it. And so let me just show you. Let me switch over. It's kind of handy. Pseudoizer. So here's the tool. It's, as you can see, pretty old. I'm going to open a resource file. Here's my standard resource file, which is my English one. It doesn't have to be, but it's pulled in my name and value pairs there, and then I can just say go ahead and pseudoize all the values, and I pseudoize that, and then it's giving me different strings, and then I can take that and say, okay, let me just save that back, and I'll call it, I could call it Italian, for instance. I'll pick one of the languages, a language maybe that I haven't translated yet, and I'll put that into the, I'll put the pseudoized strings into that language, and then obviously when I switch to that language in the emulator, I'll see all these pseudoized strings. Make sense? Really handy, super handy if you're testing, because you can start testing for localizability very early on in your process. Again, the URL is up there. It's freely available, freely downloadable, and I've seen lots of people doing that. There are also third-party tools out on the internet that do this. This is a free one you can take advantage of. The second one, someone asked about this earlier, is automated translation. It is a great way to get a first draft of an application. A Bing Translator, for instance, knows 37 different languages, and so, you know, I only know English, French, and Italian, but, you know, Bing knows a lot more than that, so it can help me get to another language. But as we saw earlier, it's not always going to give you the best result. It's going to give you a result. And it's a good way to get to a first draft, but I strongly recommend that you use a human to verify those translations and to refine those translations. There's lots of tools out there. There's one example that I have. Let's have a quick look at it, which is up on CodePlex. Cancel that. This is ResX Translator, and it gives me these crazy messages. And so here, let me just pull up my resource file. I'll pull up AppResX, and I'll tell it to translate from English, because that's where my, where is it? Here it is, English, and we'll translate to anything you guys want to try? Norwegian, okay. Do you speak Norwegian? Okay, so you'll have to tell us how it looks. And so I'm going to translate that. Ugh. Okay. What's that? Yeah, that's not Norwegian. Thanks. Thanks for that tip there. Wow. Yeah, I don't know why that's not working. Let's try that one more time. I know that Bing Translator was moving to a new API, and so maybe I need to go and update this up on CodePlex. So let's go from let's try a different language. I don't think it was the language, though, to be honest. Let me just do French. Ah, so French it likes, apparently. So what it's done now is it's taken my ResX file and actually translated it. And if I come back to my localization feature, now we have a French.fr. And now if I add existing item, we should have a French no FR, right? So this is just localized French in general. And so if I now add that, if I go and have a look at that, and you can see that it's actually done a pretty good job for French, but these are pretty simplistic strings. Once you give it more text and so on, it starts to go a little bit crazy. But again, so this is a good way to get started. Not recommended that you publish with Bing Translate. Again, it's just a tip there. Which function? Yes. Yeah, so So that string, it's called localized strings. You can do anything you want here. Yeah. Oh, you can do that for, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can do anything you want there. Correct. You can use that for pseudoizing, you mean. Yeah, absolutely. Sure you can. It's a good tip, actually. I'd never thought of that. Any other questions? I'm starting to run out of time, so I think we're almost done. But I also, I don't know if you realize, but I didn't mention this earlier, we have a giveaway of a Lumia 900 for those people that stuck around to the end. So let's keep going. The final thing is managing your resources. So once you are beyond a few languages, especially once you start using translators, professional translators, it becomes a little bit unwieldy to do the translations. As you can imagine, Visual Studio, giving a Visual Studio to a translator who is not a developer, is probably not the best way to do that. And so there are tools that are available. Typically, these are hosted services. And they do charge a little bit per month. There's one I saw earlier that was $9 a month, another one that was $19 a month. And it varies from service to service. Essentially, what these allow you to do is upload your ResX file and then invite translators to translate. And then they would translate, and then you would download the translated ResX files and then do that build. And some of them actually allow you to download those ResX files as part of your build process. So if you have an automated build every night, as your translators are translating, you're getting the updated strings all the time. So you have continuous builds. There's a few that I've seen. Crowdin is one. TransFX is one that I've seen is actually really good. There's others available. It's up to you. But I would certainly recommend that you look at doing that, especially once you get beyond a few translations. So just as a summary, it's really simple to localize apps. There are a few little tricks that you need to know, but it's actually, once you know them, it's actually really easy to do. There are a lot of things that you need to keep in mind. I tried to give you some tips to get started. My suggestion is that you start slow, add a few languages, publish, see how that works, and then make any changes that are required, and then add additional languages a little bit at a time. Obviously, you would add languages for perhaps the more popular cultures so that you get more downloads, more revenue to fund all the other cultures. And then test often and get help. Use people that speak that particular language so that you can verify that your localizations and your culture actually works in that particular culture on those devices. Yes? So the question was, can we have a different price for every for any application? You can do that. The way you would do that is that you would have to actually upload multiple zap files. There is no way to, if you have one zap file with multiple languages, you can only set one price. That's the way the marketplace works, and then we do translation. Okay? Follow me on Twitter. If you're not going to do it for me, do it for the puppy. It's a good thing. Again, I mentioned this earlier. If you have any questions, maybe you forgot to ask your questions, or maybe you remember your questions tomorrow or next week, feel free to email me. It's my pleasure to help you if you're having issues. If I can't help, then I'm sure I know someone who can help. And then again, Twitter, if you prefer Twitter, it's my pleasure to, wherever it's easiest for you, feel free. There are other Windows Phone sessions. Of course, the conference is almost over, but each of these sessions were recorded. I encourage you to go and have a look at them. The ones that I've circled or have squares in red are the ones that are development related. There's a couple more tomorrow morning, so you may want to have a look at those. And then there's some resources that are just standard. Submit your evaluations. I mentioned this earlier for those of you that came in a little late. There were some issues with the Windows Phone Track evaluations, where if you went to a Windows Phone session earlier on in the week, the evaluations were not working. Those are now fixed, and so if you wouldn't mind going back in the sessions that you went to, please submit those evaluations. Make sense? And now, so I have to have a skill testing question for how I give away this Lumia. Does anyone remember my Twitter handle? Yeah, that's not the answer. That's not the question, but I just wanted to check if you knew that. So the question, raise your hand. Don't shout out the answer because you might be shouting out the answer to someone who raises their hand and gets the answer, is related. Skill testing, hopefully you've all been listening. And the question is, raise your hand. You're already ready, right? you've got it up already. The question is, name four parts of an application you need to think about when localizing a Windows Phone application. I think you were first. Yeah, that's not what I was looking for. The parts of the application that you need to think about when you're localizing. Yes?
The menus, the text and buttons.
So that's, you're talking about some very specific there, maybe a little bit less specific than that. How about over here? App title is one. Okay, I'll give you that one. No. Okay, over here. Nope. App title is one, yep. No, that's part of the app title. I'll give you one more chance, no? Nope. So app title is one, so we know it's app title, yes? App bar is the second one, okay, yep. So where are those strings? Nope. They could be. I think you got it. So it's in your code and your XAML, right? So you have to think about your code, your XAML. So I think you got it. Okay. So congratulations. thank you. Thank you for coming. Again, please submit your evaluations. If you have questions, I think there's another session after this, so I'm going to shut down and I'll hang around for a bit if you have questions. And then please email me if you have questions after the fact. Thank you.